Welcome to the How to Hide a Dead Body podcast, brought to you by Venture Media, one of New York's hottest growing digital advertising agencies. And today is a very special episode, one that is near and dear to my heart. As always, I am joined by Patrick the Great Gilbert, author of Join or Die, Digital Advertising in the Age of Automation, available on Amazon. Pick up a copy today if you have not yet already. It's a masterclass in digital advertising applicable to anyone in the digital marketing industry who wants to learn how to actually get some profit from their Google, Facebook, and programmatic online advertising campaigns. And we are joined by Danielle Immerman, Adventure Media's content queen extraordinaire. And today's very special guest is Ari Pirotinsky. And the reason we brought Ari on today is because he's leaving Adventure Media after a illustrious tenure of about 6 years. Ari was one of the very first employees we ever hired. I think he was actually the second official employee we hired. But at the time he joined the company, that first employee was gone, and he was really the first real employee. Patrick joined Adventure Media only a couple months after, and Ari is moving on from his post here at Adventure Media to a new and exciting opportunity. And I, for one, am excited for him, and I'm sure I speak for everyone at the company when I say that we're incredibly proud of Ari, we're excited for Ari, and we can't wait to be part and watch how the future unfolds for him. But I wanted to bring Ari onto this podcast because I think that he's a real example of a success story that a lot of people could look towards for inspiration. He came to Adventure Media with very little experience, I think zero experience as far as what it is that we did. And he started at the very bottom. He started as a intern, went to a junior account manager, went to an account manager, went to a senior account manager, went into a sales development role, and eventually went on to lead our entire business development unit. And only just a few months ago was spearheading a massive pitch to one of the top 10 global pharmaceutical companies, doing whatever it is, $70 billion a year in revenue. And Ari was in charge of such a pitch. And that's an extremely condensed view of the past 6 years for Ari. But I think if Ari shares with our listeners the character traits that he feels are important to career growth, the attitudes that are important, the perspectives that are important, the decision-making frameworks, the commitment that's required, I think that's going to be something which is interesting and useful and sort of a perspective that's outside of my own and your own, Patrick, but somebody who actually went through it in that position and is now moving on. So Ari, first, after that introduction, first, welcome to the podcast. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and start talking a little bit about characteristics, attitudes, what you feel you came in with and what you feel you're leaving with and some of the things that happened in between. And the more personal and authentic it is, the better. Don't worry if you feel a little bit embarrassed. You're probably not going to meet any of these people face to face anyway, so.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it. Yeah, there's a lot going into this podcast, years of work and dedication and commitment and growth. And it's, just before I was talking to Danielle and she asked, last week of Adventure Media, how do you feel? And I said, sad. You know, well, it's exciting going on a new opportunity. I've learned a lot. I've grown a lot. So to me, it's exciting, but it's sad to move on from Adventure Media, and I'm going to miss it a lot. You know, like you said, Isaac, 6 years ago, I came in, I had zero experience. I definitely had zero digital marketing experience, but I didn't even have all that much experience just in my career overall. And outside of just marketing and digital advertising, I learned so much about what it means to put a lot of effort behind something, whether you're terrified or not, and to just, you know, see that through. And I learned a lot from you over the years, and I learned a lot from Patrick over the years. And I think just the idea of keeping an open mind and realizing that everybody that you work with, every single person that you come into contact with, whether that's a client or that team member, has a lot to offer and that you can learn from and kind of weave through any kind of challenges with these different tools that you pull from different people. And that was something that throughout the time I learned and really helped me get through a lot of the challenges. You threw out a bunch of things that you want me to talk about. Is there anything, you know, anywhere that you want me to start?
I would start with the first few years, outlining some of the challenges that you faced, if any, what those challenges were. What did you do, and what were the internal conversations you had that ultimately resulted in real growth, like tangible, actual growth? Because people face challenges, and some people overcome them and grow. Some people overcome them and stagnate, and some people don't overcome those challenges. You faced, I think, a battery of different challenges, most of which or all of which you've overcome. So maybe walk us through those first couple of years and be as specific as possible with like what the actual challenges were, what the difficulties were, and maybe they're directed at me or Patrick. And now is the time not to pull any punches. We can no longer retaliate.
On day one, I came in and knew nothing about digital advertising, but was kind of thrown into the fire and was managing a whole bunch of accounts, a lot of small business type of clients. And Patrick kind of had the same or similar experience where he came and had a whole bunch of accounts on day one as well. And I remember just a few months into management, I got on a call with a client, and I still, you know, a couple months in, didn't know nearly as much as I need to in order to successfully manage and get through a client call the way it really should be done. And at some point I was on this call, and I think maybe it was even you, Isaac, where you might have faked the sound of a phone breaking up, but we definitely hung up that phone call in the middle of the client call. And I remember the feeling after that call, and the feeling was just like total failure, absolute failure. Like, I've been doing this for 2-3 months, and I can't get through a phone call talking to another person. And what happened after that was we regrouped, we talked for, you know, just a few minutes, and we immediately got back on the phone with that client. And you made me go through the process of talking through with that client that you're finishing the phone call with that client immediately, and didn't let the idea and the concept of like, oh, you're such a failure, you know, linger or anything like that. And I like internalized that, where no matter what, however successful you are, and you know, you refer to me as kind of an example of someone who can be successful in this industry and come in knowing nothing. As many of those successes as you're going to have, there is absolutely no way to get there without so many failures along the way. And I think like that example very, very early on helped me realize that when you fail at something like that, when you truly feel like you failed at something, the best thing to do is just go right. And it's like, it sounds so cliche, but it's really hard to do, to just get right back into it and go for it. And I was terrified to do that, but I did it. And of course, the rest of the call sucked just as much as the first half, but just the idea of going through it and actually finishing it off kind of internalized something in myself that you really do have to just get back up on that horse, even if you are going to fall back down. Of course, there were many, many, many more failures after that. But the idea of like not letting it simmer helps a tremendous amount.
Ari, so following up on that, I think that there was a transition period that all of us went through together, whether it was a year in, 2 years in, where all of a sudden we all became much more confident. And that came through in our ability to have phone calls in a more productive way, but to drive performance for client campaigns that were better than we had seen in the past. And at some point we kind of looked at each other and said, hey, we're actually like all of us, we're pretty good at this. And that came through. And I think that fostered an exponential growth curve for us. Do you remember at any point, like what any of those instances were that like helped instill your confidence of, hey, I'm actually pretty good at this? And what led to that?
A little while ago, I don't remember how many years, maybe 3 or 2.5 years ago, we pitched AMC Networks. And you guys remember that because you were there. Went through a couple rounds of pitches, And at that point, we did have some confidence, but I think it was really our first big brand name company that we went through the process of pitching. And one of the last rounds, I think it was actually the last round, was going into their offices and pitching the team in person and presenting what our ideas are and, you know, what our strategies might be. And we absolutely killed it. We went in there, and I remember on the train in, the whole conversation was around who else is pitching these guys and what are the other big agencies that are pitching these guys. And we're totally punching above our weight class, and there's no way we're going to sign this account. And we went in there, and we first showed up at the wrong office building, and then we got to the right one, and we pitched them. And just a couple of hours after that, we got a call from them saying, wow, we love you guys. We have to work with you guys. You know, let's just send out the proposal, whatever those numbers are, let's get it done. And I remember the thought at that moment was like, everybody's just a person. And like, there's this like confidence behind just know your stuff and prepare really well and you can win any business from anybody over any other agency who's been doing this for however much longer you have. And I remember very, very clearly in that moment, every company and every organization, as scary as they might seem and as intimidating and, you know, any other agency, it all just boils down to people. Everyone goes home and poops at night the same. You know, it's like, that's just what happens. You know, everyone's a person. So you feel that. And of course, you have to be an expert in your in the subject matter, but you have to also have that confidence that you can talk the talk and you can actually go in there and present in a way that you can give off that confidence, that especially from like an agency client relationship, that's really, really, really important. And that's something that our clients, I think why our clients stick around for so long is because they really feel like there's a lot of confidence behind what we do, and truthful confidence, not like the bravado of just, you know, making it up, but having the confidence like, hey, we really do believe that we should be playing with the big boys. And I think that was the moment that I really kind of internalized the idea that like, hey, everyone is just a person and just go out there and do it. Just go.
That day, we honestly don't talk about that enough because one, that was such a momentous moment for our company's growth, and we overcame such incredible odds to win that account. But also, you kind of quickly glossed over this, but it was early June, so it was warm, and it was pouring when we left the office. We had to take the train to the city, but I remember specifically saying, do we need umbrellas? And we decided no, because we thought that it was directly above Penn Station, and we didn't even have to go outside. And we get there, and we're, of course, like running late, as we always are. And the guy at the front desk doesn't let us up because he's like, this is not where those people work. Like, they have two different offices. We couldn't get an Uber in time. So the three of us ran in the rain, in the pouring rain, from Penn Station and 34th Street down to like, I think it was like 24th and 3rd where their office was. And soaking wet, which turned into sweat. And we like somehow got up there. We laughed it off. Like, they appreciated it too. Same idea. Like, these people are human, right? Like, they went to the wrong office. It was an honest mistake. Like, whatever, we screwed it up. But that turned into like this human component. And we were able to laugh about that, not just in that moment, but like throughout the entire relationship that started kind of on that day.
Yeah. And like one other point was just that idea of just being very genuine and like who you are. And I think just over the years, corporate culture has been going more and more towards, from the suit and tie to the sweatshirt, of just being more of your own person and just being genuine about things. And like, that's what really stands out about our agency. And like that example of showing up there soaking wet and like look at our watches, see what like our heart rates were, you know, like just running all the way down there. And like that being the icebreaker at AMC Network, I think that also was a big part of like why we won that account. And it just goes to show that like, you know, unbutton a little bit and just be a subject matter expert and let that shine through. And that can really take you very far.
One thing that I wanted to discuss with you is like your career path, even in Adventure Media, it's wound around a little bit and you've essentially created a department that didn't previously exist. And you started working on projects that like nobody else really ever knew. And you kind of just like figured it out and you've done an exceptional job at it. You started in a completely different role. And over time, I think you tried to figure out what you were good at and what you were passionate about. What were those moments that helped you figure out, hey, here's what I'm good at, here's what I'm not good at, here's where I want to be, and how, like, you know, basically laying out the steps to get to that point where you are now?
Winning. That's what, you get a little taste of that. You want more of it. It's a good question. I just felt over time, between account management and the nitty-gritty of it and the day-to-day and the broader kind of a longer-term approach of working on a sales funnel, between the two, my strengths kind of led me towards the latter. And it was extremely important for me to spend the first 3 years of my time and career here at Adventure Media, or maybe even longer than 3 years, in the day-to-day nitty-gritty of account management and growing on that front with the company, working with a whole bunch of really, really small accounts, and then moving up to fewer accounts, but bigger accounts where the stakes are much higher. And then understanding the complexities behind where all these platforms and how they talk to each other, and just the progression of like how fast these platforms change and understanding of like what that means to the business. And then from there, taking all of that and moving that into a more business development and sales role and taking a step back and saying, I know how these platforms work. I know what clients really want even if they don't know what they want, and having those types of conversations with clients from a sales development standpoint. I think one of the things that allowed me to do really well in this role and to build out this department in the way I did was learning about the growth of a client from the time they come on until they've been with us for a year or two, and just watching how their needs shift to what their real needs are from when they come to us as a client. Where a lot of times we have these conversations with clients early on, and we ask them what they're looking for and what their goals are. And they start talking about that, and we dive into it a little bit deeper, and we realize and kind of reshift their focus on what their actual goals are. And it's something that, as an account manager, it's very tough to manage that because you're managing the accounts and the client. But if you're a good account manager and you're able to kind of merge those two things and allow them to grow together, you really learn a lot about client management. And I think, you know, that was something that really excited me a lot. And the idea of starting the process at the beginning of speaking to these clients and really finding the right type of clients that would help our agents grow was something that to me was very, very exciting. And I felt that I was a real partner with the account management team and with you, Patrick, and everything that you put into the account management team, because there's so much that goes into understanding what makes a client a good client. And if a client isn't at that point, kind of going through the process early on and getting them to that point so that when they do come on as a client, we can work with them in the way that we need to. And I think kind of like the convergence of both of those things together was what excited me the most. And it's something that I think I've thrived on over the last few years.
I want to also touch upon just this concept of hard work. Like, you were always a hard worker from the very beginning. And I sort of sensed that in you when we first had our original interview, where we had that half or a quarter of a conference room table that we got for free from some used furniture out. But you were always a hard worker. So there's two components to this question, and I think it's worth talking about. One is, like, how do you maintain a level of hard work? And that's just a matter of hours, putting in the hours, putting in the time. I mean, you've probably worked on most weekends over the last 6 years. You've worked many, many late nights. So there's just like that concept of hard work. It's difficult to put in hard work, and it's difficult to do it consistently. So talk about that. Like, what is your experience with it? How do you manage hard work? How do you manage burnout? Do you unplug? Do you like conscientiously unplug when you're on vacation? And what motivates you to work hard, and what's the value that you see in it? But then I think there's also things that you've struggled with. I think you've struggled with time management at times. I think you've struggled with taking on projects, especially in the beginning. I remember there was like different projects you wanted to take on that would be like sort of ancillary or tangential to the main job. And I think we all have a big difficulty with those types of things that you need to really carve out time for that are not immediately necessary or important. But I think you've really gotten better at that over the years, saying, okay, like, I'm going to work on this over the next 3 months. It's not immediate. It's not necessary for our survival, but it's a good long-term thing. And at some point over the past 6 years, you've figured out how to do that better. So I guess my question is, like, how did you figure that out? What did you do? And talk about what hard work means to you.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to talk about my struggles, Isaac, but I actually have a hard stop right now, so I got to jump off. the struggles and the hard work. Yes, I do enjoy hard work. I think they kind of go like hand in hand, the idea of hard work and struggles, because part of why I work so hard is because I'm not the smartest person in the room, and I'm not the most organized person, and I do find it difficult to work as quickly as other people. And I know that the only way to kind of get ahead and the only way to kind of rise to the top is to just put in that work as much as possible. And just on the topic of work in general, I know there's like a lot of discussion about like work-life balance, and it's all about like what works best for you. For me, one of the things that I've done over the last few years is it is important to have a work-life balance and kind of like that split between work and family. But for me, I kind of merged the two, where, you know, Adventure Media and work, I always wanted it to be where work is my life, where at work, I am not only doing work, but I'm also dealing with life. And at home, I'm, you know, helping out with family, and I'm spending as much time as possible with my wife and beautiful daughter, and, you know, doing as much as I can there, but also being available and being able to respond to things quickly. And for me, that kind of worked out really well, where I can put a tremendous amount of work in, and my team around me and the people that I work with understand that maybe I'm not always available during work hours because I'm doing other things on the side in terms of like family life and all that, but I'm also, you know, at home, I'm available sometimes to work at nights and the weekends and, you know, all that together. But that's just a side point. In terms of like the struggles, it's always something to put a spotlight on, kind of like one or two things at a time, where when you're struggling, and I remember early on, I was struggling with just one thing, writing. And I remember, Isaac, me and you had this conversation about how do we write better? How do we communicate, you know, better via emails with clients? And we came up with a solution of, and man, I hated doing this, but we came up with a solution of creating a minimum word count in an email so that no matter what, I have to figure out a way to fill up the email. And I don't remember what the word count was, but it was,
I think you had to write a 2,500 word email once a week.
Something like that. And it was brutal, difficult to do, but it's funny. It kind of like changed your mindset. And that was like eye-opening to the sense that like this concept of like working 10 times harder than anyone else and the meaning around that. And it's not just like hard work, it's smart work, right? So it's figuring out and focusing on what you are struggling with. And that's what you want to work hard towards, because you don't always necessarily want to. The idea of like hard work is not just working hard just for the sake of working hard. It's working hard to accomplish things. So the way to work smart is to find what you're lacking in, to find what you need to strengthen and work towards that so you can focus on other things and strengthen other things and kind of make the whole package a little bit better. But the concept of hard work should never stop, but it's all about figuring out like where that smart work is. And I think just paying attention to that is not something I've ever done before, but this job has made you do that, because there's never a time where you don't have, you know, work, quote unquote, to do. So the idea of structuring from a priority standpoint and structuring around like, how do you maximize the time, and then taking a step back and saying, okay, if I can work harder for the next month on these three things, the next 6 months will be much easier for me because I'll be able to do those things much quicker in the future. And like setting up processes around doing that is something that's always challenging. And there isn't exactly like a blueprint for it. While there is a lot of, you know, self-help books and all that, it's something that is definitely important to focus on. It's helped me grow a lot just throughout my time here.
I think it's relevant to tie in a story from what had happened separately in our internal Slack channel earlier today, where something had transpired, a relationship over the long term that started a very long time ago and is now really paying benefits. Isaac had sent this message to our team, and I quote, "I've always found it excruciatingly difficult to see the long game, to work and hope and strive for future payoffs. It's just not my nature. I was drawn to digital advertising for its immediacy, but seeing something like this validates the value of the long-term outlook, and it underscores what everyone is capable of accomplishing with consistent hard work and dedication to one's craft." That idea of like being drawn to digital advertising for its immediacy, I think all of us sort of struggle with that long-term outlook because we're, I don't know if it's an attention span thing, like whatever it is, but I think being able to be self-aware of that and figure out, to your point, like how do I get smarter about this and how can I change my habits to make progress in some of these areas? Because if you can focus on one very small long-term project, all of a sudden 5 years go by and it turns into the best thing that's happening in your company or your career, whatever it is. And I think that all of this that we're talking about here kind of embodied in that.
And to piggyback on what Patrick was saying, I think Ari, you possess the qualities that I talk about sometimes as far as success in one's career. And they're all paradoxical. And I think to a great extent, to some extent at least, there is this balance, or not even a balance, it's like a seeming paradox where you take yourself very seriously and you also don't take yourself too seriously at the same time. And I think that's really fundamental to success. Because to take yourself seriously means when you're sitting down to write a proposal, you're sitting down to work on a client, it's like, we are the greatest agency. I am the best at what I do. We are going to achieve so much. And you really approach it with this attitude of we and I am the elite of the elite. But if you take yourself too seriously like that in both interpersonal relationships, you're somebody who's going to get easily offended and upset about things and difficult to work with because you take yourself too seriously. And the same thing goes for growth in the form of acquiring knowledge from those who are actually better than you. So I think that this is something that is really interesting as far as laying it out in, I guess, verbally or in writing, but some people just possess it and some people just have it. And I think you're somebody who has it. You're somebody who at the same exact time understands your limitations and understands the importance of learning more and improving your knowledge and improving your expertise, But in that same moment, it's like, there's no one better at what I do than me. And I think that's like fundamentally important to have that internal paradox, because it creates people who are inspired leaders, because people want to be led and want to be inspired by people who know what they're doing and are confident in what they're doing. But at the same time, it keeps you on your toes with a sense of humility that there's a lot to be learned from other people and other resources and coworkers, people either above you or below you in the hierarchical structure. And that's something which I have admired. And I've told you, I think it's made you somebody who is extremely pleasant to work with, a good friend. I'm sure it's also something that has made you attractive to your new suitor. Let's pivot for a second into sales. Because sales is interesting. And well, do you want to say something on that?
The one thing I would comment is, yeah, I agree very much. And I think as many books as I've read over the last 6 years and podcasts that I've listened to and content that I've, you know, devoured just across my blogs and whatever, there's no question I've absolutely learned the most from the people that I work with. And that's you, Isaac, and Patrick. And there's no question about it. Most of what I am today is just due to learning from the people around me and taking what I can from how they respond to certain situations and kind of looking at that and saying, I can get better at doing that just like this person is, and kind of putting that in my arsenal. And that's even going over to people and just talking to them, like, how did you learn how to do that? You know, teach me it. And just like that kind of stuff is what really helped me get to where I am today. So it's not something to overlook or look too lightly at all.
So let's just pivot for the last few minutes on sales, specifically on sales, because it's something that you have really developed, a skill you have really developed in your own experience. Why are you good at selling? What's fundamental to the sales process? What connects a client to an agency or point of contact at an advertiser to a point of contact like yourself at an agency? What works and why has it worked for you?
Yeah, totally. So number one, that question is that I believe in what I'm selling. If I don't believe in what I'm selling, there's no way I'd be a good salesman at all. I don't think anyone really can be. And I think one step further than that is having that central pitch of whatever you are selling. And the idea of an agency is even more than that, because we're not really selling a product. We're not selling results, because we never do that. We never guarantee results, but we do sell the hard work, the expertise, professionalism, the attention to detail. And that's all us team that we work with. And again, I work with the best team in the world at this. And the idea that I can go into a pitch and be very genuine and just very clearly tell the truth to these clients from all walks of life, I think that's something that shines through. And I think that they want to work with us. And it's funny, something I tell clients all the time is, like, weird as it is, you know, I'm sure you're looking at many other agencies. I guarantee you that you will enjoy working with us over any other agency you're considering. It goes a long way. You know, I don't really care about enjoying working with you. I want to make money. And that's what you think, really, a lot of clients are thinking about. But again, the idea of, like, everyone's just a person and they want to enjoy their life and they want to go through a business relationship and enjoy that business relationship. And the concept of, like, you know, okay, we got through the part that we've done an audit on the account. We've, you know, presented our pitch in terms of, like, what strategies can be. And we've shown the client that we have a tremendous amount of depth of knowledge and industry expertise. But I think what really shines through is just being genuine. And also what really helps is taking the time to really learn the client, and if it really isn't a good match, turning them away. And you'd be, I mean, I don't know if you'd be surprised, but the psychological flip when you tell a client that you don't think we're the right fit is wild. They send you referrals. They come back to you 3 months later and tell you that they've changed their business model. Can they work with you now? It's crazy, crazy thing where we're working now with a few clients that got referred to us from prospects that we told, you know, we're sorry, we don't think we're a good fit, and here's the reason why. And there's a lot that comes through when you go through that type of process. And again, just the idea of being very truthful and genuine. And I think clients really, really notice that in a big way.
How do you approach the fear of rejection? It's something that I struggle with personally. Like, I'm terrible at networking, which is why I've always loved bringing you along to networking events, whether we're on a boat. I mean, you know, if you get me drunk, I'm fine. Like, I could talk to people drunk, but you could actually talk to people sober and not embarrass us. So whether it's at a marketing conference or it's a boat ride around New York City or literally on the tennis court or sitting in a cafe, like, you approach people and start talking, and I'm terrified to do that. So what, like, how do you do that? Are you not afraid of rejection, or are you not afraid of the awkwardness that comes with selling something to somebody when They might not want to be sold. Do you psych yourself up? Do you use any techniques or tactics, or are you just totally socially inept where you don't mind?
Yeah, no, it's something that I've overcome. So I have failed at that so many times. And I realize that the next morning when I wake up, I still have all my limbs and I'm still fine and I'm still breathing and everything's okay. It's just kind of the repetition of it. You just do it and do it and do it. And
what's the Kevin Hart story with Jeff Bezos that you told me once? I really like that story.
I don't remember. Maybe it was
Kevin Hart was telling Rogan, I think, about when he was like, he walked over to Jeff Bezos and his friend was telling him, "Are you crazy?"
Oh, I think they met each other at the Super Bowl and he saw Jeff Bezos in the suite or something. And he went over to him and his friend was like, "Yeah, it's Jeff Bezos. You can't just walk over to him." And he walked over to him and before he can open his mouth, Jeff Bezos is like, "Hey, Kevin, I'm a huge fan of yours." And it's just like that idea. You don't know what the other person's thinking. You don't know what they know. But I think just the concept of like, and if you fail and then what, you know, what's going to happen? Yeah, you'll feel awkward. And but what if you don't? Things are never as good as they seem. And they're also never as bad as things will be okay. You'll be fine. You'll go out, you'll get, rejected a whole bunch of times. You realize it's not the end of the world and that will be your superpower moving forward. Yeah, it's just about the repetition and doing it. There isn't really this like unique philosophy around it. It's just do the work.
Parting words. So,
well, wait, I was thinking we could do a speed round of Ari and I just going back and forth talking about all the things that we don't like about you, Isaac.
Ooh, I don't know if we have time for that, Patrick.
Well, now that you mentioned that, Patrick, Ari, what is the top three things that over the last 6 years bothered you about me?
Oh, this is great.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm limiting you to three. Three is the maximum.
I know. I'm just going through my list. I'm trying to prioritize here. Top three things I don't like about you. It's a tough one. It's a tough one, Isaac.
No, it is tough.
I don't know if I have the heart to like go into things that I actually don't like about you. no, I'm kidding. There isn't anything there. But I think
you might not wake up tomorrow with all your limbs.
I'll flip it on the other side. I think I've learned a lot. I kept saying that I've learned a lot from the people around me. Between everyone that I've worked with, I think you've been a great mentor to me and you've been a great teammate to fail with together, to succeed with as well, but I think even better in failure. And I've learned a lot from you in those moments. And I've, mentioned a couple, just on this episode, but I learned a lot from you in those moments and just kind of driving forward. But I think you talked about work ethic. That's something that I had coming in, but I didn't know that there was a certain level of like work ethic until I met you and you were working yourself literally sick to the bone where, I remember like 6 months in, you were sick in bed for a week and it was just because you worked too much. And I realized that's a little bit too intense, so I'm not going to do that. But there's a lot to be said just for the concept and to learn the concept of doing anything and everything you put your mind to do it 10 times better than you think anyone else is going to. And I think that's what helped our agency grow a lot. And I think if there's anything kind of like on the double-edged sword of what I like and don't like is the expectations are so high that you are bound to fail at some point when you work here at Adventure. And I think everyone that comes through this door after a certain point realizes that failure is different here. It's not a mark or a knock. It's more of a badge. And it's, great. You put in all that work and you didn't accomplish what you wanted to accomplish this time. Awesome. Now you know what that feels like. Now continue and go out and continue working and you'll see that those successes will roll in. And that's something that I've learned from day one here at Adventure Media, from you. I am happy to see that the beanie is not back this winter. That's something I definitely didn't like. And I'm not sure if that's because it's just been worn so many times. It's probably grown mold at this point. It's off somewhere in the garbage, I hope. But yeah, that to me just like personifies what it means to like be here at Adventure Media. And I'm definitely going to miss it over the long run.
That's inspiring. Thank you for that. Okay. If you could distill everything that we've spoken about over the past 40 minutes, and you're talking directly to an individual listener, wherever they are in their career, they're struggling with growth. What advice would you give them to show up tomorrow to work with? What attitudes, what perspectives, distilling, down to your top couple strong fundamental pieces of work advice, what would you tell that person?
I would tell them to prepare for anything and everything. If that means that you have to open up your computer on a Sunday night for the week and prepare for the week, do that. If you have a call with a client, prepare. Be afraid that you are going to fail to the point where you have to prepare so that you don't. And I think that is something that people that are very talented at what they do miss this point where, as talented as you are, you still always have to prepare no matter what. And I think to me, I'm just naturally, I'm like afraid of failure. I'm afraid of a lot of things. And to me, that is something that forces me to prepare and over prepare. And when I'm on a call with a client, I have notes on my computer. I have notes in front of me. I have notes on my phone. I'm just so over prepared that I'm inevitably going to miss things, but it's something that helps in a big way. Prepare. I mean, just do the work, man. Just do the work. Just get up and do the work. And that's really it. It's not complicated, but it's hard, right? It's simple, but it's hard. Just prepare and do the work and, you know, you'll be okay. And again, like the idea of work, it's not work for the sake of work. It's work for the sake of accomplishing the goal. So figure out what you need to work at and work towards that and just stay, you know, structured in that way. And I think like that's what I'm going to continue to try to do. And, you know, hopefully that works out for me. And hopefully if you're listening to this, it works out for you too.
Awesome. I learned a few things about you on this call. I really like that idea about preparing. And again, I appreciate everything that you've brought to the table over the last 6 years, like I've discussed and I've communicated to you and to the rest of the team. And our whole team has been beneficiaries of the quality of work and the quality of your character that you brought to this agency. And you were a serious and significant part of our growth over the past 6 years. So it's an end to an incredible era working alongside you every day. And I'm sure we're going to see a lot of each other. Probably more than you'd like.
Yeah, I hope not.
This is great for our listeners. Patrick, did you have anything final here to say before we sign off?
It's taken me a while to process the idea of you leaving, and it sucks. But I'm so happy for you. You've been with me the entire time, and you've been like a brother to me. And when we look back to the early days of us kind of leaning on each other for the hard work, but I've learned so much from you. And you've done so many things and you have certain skills that I've never had and you've taught me those skills and it's been an incredible journey and I appreciate it. Yeah, man, come back and let me beat you in ping pong, I guess. I don't know. I'm going to miss you.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Pat.
This is really hard and I appreciate everything you've done.
I'm definitely going to miss it.
Ari, I got to ask final question. Where's the best place to hide a dead body?
The first page of Bing. No, I'm kidding. Second page of Google.
You've been listening to the How to Hide a Dead Body podcast with Isaac Radansky, Patrick Gilbert, and Ari Kuratinsky, and Danielle Immerman. Brought to you by Adventure Media, New York's hottest, fastest growing digital advertising agency. It's one of those things or something else. Who knows? But thank you, and we look forward to the next episode.